Online Biz Insiders, episode 53. Hi, everyone. It's Carla Wilson here, and I'm joined by my colleague,
Mary Moos.
And we are your Online Biz Insiders, sharing a weekly podcast of 10 to 30 minutes in length, in which we share our expertise, our tips and tricks, and our experience helping small businesses with social media, with running their online businesses, with productivity, to make you more efficient in your small business. So here we are already into March of 2012. Can you believe it, Mary?
Yeah, I know. I know. It just keeps getting faster.
It does. Oh my gosh. So today's episode, I wanted to give Mary the floor because she actually has a teleclass coming up. And by the time this podcast gets posted, I think the teleclass will have happened. However, I wanted to give her some time to showcase some of the information she's going to share on the teleclass. So we're going to be talking today about debunking online business myths. Am I saying that right, Mary?
Yes.
Okay. All right, cool. Yes. So for instance, what would you say are some online business myths that you are going to be debunking during your teleclass?
Oh, okay. Well, thanks, Carla. One of the reasons I wanted to do this topic as a teleclass is I really noticed that pretty much every time I talk with a client, very often they may be in the coaching business, or they may be followers of some of the big kind of online marketing gurus that we're all familiar with. And they come to me and they'll say, I want to do X, Y, and Z because this is what they're recommending to do. And great, we implement, we put things into place. And then sometimes I get disappointment because what they set out to do doesn't necessarily work the way they anticipated. Mm-hmm. And over the years, and in my own experience too, this includes me in a very big way. I'm not criticizing people. This really includes me. I have really found that what is good for the goose is not necessarily good for the gander. The ugly and unfortunate truth is that I personally feel that online marketing results are a highly individualized thing, and it's very difficult to make sweeping generalizations about what works and what doesn't. So one of the things, there's multiple areas in which this is true. But I'll just pick on email marketing, okay? Because this is like a big part of what we do. I mean, right. I have this list, and then, So this is just, and again, this is entirely opinion. This is total commentary. This is just what I have gleaned from. By the way, I have been in business 10 years this month. So I just want to mention that. 10 flipping years.
Congratulations. That's exciting.
It's my big day. I'm going to go have a cake.
Kudos, man.
So 10 years is still standing. But in all of those years, and even in my corporate years doing some email marketing, I have really found that there are things that work and things that don't. And what's unfortunate is that you can't always predict what those things may be.
Right. Right.
But I'll just touch on a few things that might be helpful to people.
And excellent.
And again, this is one of the things I'm going to talk about in my call.
Okay.
Very often, and this is me too, because I follow all the marketing gurus, the big dogs, the big people with the seven figure incomes. And this is absolutely not to be construed as a criticism of them, or I am absolutely not saying that what they're telling you is wrong, because in truth, what they're telling you is correct.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling you these tactics, like things for sales pages, things for email marketing pieces. Everything they're telling you is correct. But here's the problem. It's correct for a list of 30,000 people.
Right. Okay.
And a 30,000, a list of 30,000 is going to behave very, very differently and perform very, very differently than a list of 300, which is where most people kind of are.
Right.
Most people's
right.
email lists. I'm always pleasantly surprised when someone comes to me with a list of 2,000 people. Like, that's actually like pretty good.
Yeah.
For someone who's on their own, or someone that hasn't been in business a long time, or someone that is not like, internet famous, a list of 2,000 is pretty good. my own list is embarrassingly small. And I'm going to touch on as to why that is in a minute.
Okay.
Which feeds into this somehow. But here's the thing. On top of the list size making an effect on how a list performs, there's also these intangible things that are just plain old-fashioned judgment calls.
Okay.
Someone with a seven-figure marketing advice business, and again, this is not a slam, this is not a criticism, but generally speaking, very often they have personality cults around them. And that's not, I don't mean that as a pejorative. I mean that as, if you subscribe to, I was just telling you before the call, I went to a local event with Fabienne Fredrickson.
Mm-hmm.
I read everything she does.
Right.
I'm one of her biggest fans. I think she dispenses fantastic advice. I really do. But when I get an email from Fabienne Fredrickson, I read it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She has such notoriety. She's so famous at what she does. She's well known for producing results for people. When her email lands in my inbox, I pretty much make time to read it, and I read it all. And her emails are long. Like, they're probably anywhere from, there's probably like four or five different sections in her email newsletter. Okay. But that's Fabienne Fredrickson.
Right.
I have no idea what the exact number is on her list. I'm guesstimating about 50,000,
okay.
Maybe 40. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's well in the tens of thousands. The dynamic for her as to what is effective is way, way different for her than it would be for me. And there are two reasons. One is list size and fame. That figures into it.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way around it.
Mm-hmm.
The behavior of a list is going to be different when you have a gigantic following that's devoted to what you're saying.
Right.
Okay. The other angle of that is the content of what she is talking about is what I like to call a sexy subject. Marketing and selling and making money is just sexy. You're going to stop what you're doing and listen to, if you own a business, if someone talks about some way of increasing your sales or being more effective in your marketing, you're going to pretty much stop and look, and you're going to pay attention. Oh, well, maybe I get a little tidbit of wisdom here and it can help me. On the other hand, if you are in the business of selling, and I do have a client, I haven't worked with in a little bit, but I have a client who does legal testimony for lawsuits involving termites. Okay,
that's very,
very
nichey.
Very
that's quite a niche.
Subject matter.
Yes.
Exactly, quite a niche. Okay, now again, I haven't done large scale, but just from a thought experiment perspective,
mm-hmm.
someone who's talking about how to build your sales and make more money versus how to spot scams in the termite extermination business.
Right.
The response that you're going to get from your list is going to be very, very different. Purely, even if their list sizes were equal, the response you're going to get is going to be very, very different. It's just, there's just new two ways about it. Like, there's no way to sex up termite extermination. There's just no way to do it. You can't make that hot. You just can't. You know what I mean? Is that information great? Absolutely. And their audience wants to know, or they wouldn't have signed up. But here's the thing. The person talking about termite extermination is probably going to want to take a very different tactic. They are not going to want to email once a week. They're going to do it once every 2 to 3 weeks or possibly once a month. And when they do email, it should be absolute rock solid, timely. Sorry, my husband was at the door. Honey. timely information that has some kind of time stamp on it. Like some kind of like, hey, this is this cool thing I saw on the news that might impact you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be short.
Yeah.
Like someone who has kind of like what I call a personality cult can get away with the article talking about their kids. They can get away with, this is a picture of us skiing. This is, and then the meaty content and then their upcoming events. That works for them. That makes total sense because you're following them as a person. They have an air of celebrity, and they're giving good content. The person who's talking about termite extermination, they probably want to keep it really short and simple, certainly friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But if they did the same thing, if they said, this is a picture of me and my wife skiing, and here's our kids, and the meaty stuff. Oh, and here's all the things. These are the lawsuits I'm going to be testifying for. Is that going to have the same impact? No. The person's going to be like, I don't care. And they're going to delete. And they're going to delete or unsubscribe.
Mm-hmm.
So they're two different animals. And I think what goes on is people assume that all subject matter, all list sizes must be treated equally. And they shouldn't. You know, like,
right.
and very often, this is really a sad truth. This is real. I get told all the time, like, oh, I really like your tech tip newsletter. I get such good stuff out of that. I have a very high unsubscribe rate. Like, I think it's high. It's not really that high, of course, but it's high enough that I would be reticent to email every week. I tend to do it every 2 or 3 weeks mm-hmm. because very often it's hard to find the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, what I do is I'm very much on the side of the termite extermination business because, what I do is technical. It's not sexy. It's not inspiring. It's necessary and it's of interest to people when they need it.
Yes.
That's, again, not a judgment call. It's just different. So I think a lot of times people fall into this fallacy as well. If I have a termite extermination business and I email every week and I talk about my kids and I do this, I follow this formula and I have this huge unsubscribe rate and I don't know what's wrong. Like, well, it's a whole different animal. You're mm-hmm. making things, you're trying to like shove this wisdom into a thing that really isn't appropriate for what it is you're selling. And it's not appropriate for your list size and it's not appropriate for what you do.
Right.
So what do you do if you have a technical type of business or a non-sexy business and you want to engage your audience? Well, you definitely want to email them. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to keep it short, 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 short.
Yeah.
Short is very important. If you have a lot of content, break it up over 4 issues. And here's another little horrible truth about internet marketing. No one is reading your email.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The stats show it. Doesn't matter how much someone loves you. It doesn't matter how big a fan. So I'll bet even one of the big internet marketing gurus will say, oh, there's probably some issues that don't get read as much as others.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are not famous and you don't have a following, you're probably going to find that really only anywhere from 20 to 60. If you have a 60% open rate, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So 40% of people are looking at it on their phone and they don't get the whole thing. So if you have a small list, a small business, or you're dealing with a subject matter that's not inspirational or not life enhancing, it's just something like a problem solving kind of thing. You're probably wasting your time coming up with this gigantic, massive newsletter with super fancy formatting, where you're probably just better off even doing either plain text or something that looks like plain text with maybe like a signature, something really, really simple.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like one thing I like to, I always find myself explaining to people, and it's kind of hard to explain because it's a judgment call. It's, you have to make a subjective judgment,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but that's kind of it in a nutshell.
And, you know, I think it should be noted that, as you're saying, all lists are not created equal. And when you've got a small business and what you may consider to be a puny or small list, really probably what's happening is that the folks who wanted to unsubscribe because it's not of interest to them have unsubscribed. But you have people on that list that love what you say and mm-hmm. and are more apt to open your email then, for instance, a big dog with a list of 10,000 who maybe only 1,000 people or 2,000 people are actually opening that email. So that's
right.
That's another way to look at it. You know, especially if you're a niche termite inspection legal speaker.
Yep.
Again, that's quite a niche, but yeah, I would guess maybe his list, I don't know, it wouldn't be 10,000. But like you're saying, when people need that information, it's necessary.
They need it.
Yeah.
Yes.
When they need
yes.
it, they need it. And that's
exactly.
when they subscribe. And they are getting
or they're
the information.
Or they're, you know, and then another thing, the more specialized your business, the chances are your list is going to be your peers.
Yes.
I mean, a big part of my mailing list are other virtual people in the virtual services industry.
Yep.
They're either online business managers or they're virtual assistants, or people we know from our network.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's another criteria. Is your, you know, are your audience, like, if you have a life coaching business that deals in like something that's really kind of like a soft skill, like things like let's say coaching someone through divorce, or I'm just making something up here.
Okay.
Like something that's really kind of like a human interest type niche.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with a general audience, many of whom may not be tech savvy,
mm-hmm.
who maybe don't subscribe to 100 different email newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other animal.
Yep.
Than somebody like you or me, who a lot of our audience are other virtual professionals that already get 200 messages a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? They have to be treated differently.
Yes.
You know, and so I think that, again, that's a really tough thing to coach people through, because, you know, that's another thing. There just aren't any rules with this stuff. Like, you can follow general proscripts that will generally work. But I do think that has to be tempered with judgment calls on what is it that you're selling. Who is subscribing to your list? How did you get them on the list? What are they really, really interested in? I find it to be, personally, for my business, it's a real challenge. I really find it, I'm not the kind of person to post pictures of myself when my life's just not that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I would venture, if I did a lot of that in my email marketing, my unsubscribes would even be higher, mm-hmm. because it's just, for some people, it's great. And for other people, and for certain topics and certain audiences, it's not. Like, I view my audience, the people on my list, as being very, they want meat and potatoes,
mm-hmm.
and they want it now and not too much of it. You
right.
know what I mean? I that seems to be my particular list sweet spot.
Yes.
You know, and for somebody else, it's a whole different story.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, so I just, like, people, like myself included, beat myself up. Oh, my list should be bigger. My freebie isn't working, you know, that's another area, freebies, the freebie opt-in offer, get my free special report.
Mm-hmm.
If I said my free special report, it, like, you know, people go, oh, well, I'm not getting the opt-ins I wanted. Like, well, that doesn't mean your freebie offer is bad. It doesn't mean that people don't like you. It just might be, you know, certain subjects are sexier than others. Mm-hmm. If I put up a freebie report, 10 ways to make big money in Atlantic City counting cards, I mean, that's probably going to entice people a little bit more than, say, secrets of domain name management.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it really depends. It depends a lot on, you know, what it is. So, like, I mean, I had a freebie offer for a long time on my site, and I'm reworking it now. But I took, well, what do I get the most questions for? Well, I would get tons and tons of questions about how online payment system works. So I thought, oh, I'll write up a little mini e-thing about how online payment systems work and the difference between carts and payment processors and stuff. I was shocked at how low my opt-in rate was.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, when they need it, it's like being a, I always say, it's like being a plumber. When they need it, they need it.
Yep. Yep.
They need it, and they need the right advice. Do they want to read about it in their spare time? Probably not.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, sometimes that's just a function of the type of service you do. And I think that people tend to be very hard on themselves about that kind of thing. But, that's something I've observed over the years. I don't know. Maybe you have found that yourself.
Oh.
Because you do a kind of a technical service.
Right. Right. Exactly. I think that, yeah, I have what to some folks might be considered an incredibly low list. But I know that the information I'm sharing, it's like you said, it's not every week. It's maybe once a month. And it's very specific, helpful things that I know my, you know, whatever, my 50 people or 100 people, whatever it is, are interested in. Specifically
yeah.
opted in to learn my tips and tricks. It's not,
yep.
You know, it's not me. And I think something just should be said about these folks that have these huge long lists. You know, did they build those lists themselves? They probably had some assistance from some colleagues. They did some events together. They shared their lists. So it's, you know, again, like you're saying, every list is not created equal. And I mm-hmm. think that, you know, if you are providing information when people need it, then you're going to see that your list is growing.
Right.
And it's just the more detailed, the more specific and timely your information is, I think the more that it's appreciated by your list.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. I mean, and plus, it's tough to, and this is a very hard thing to keep up with, even if you really know what you're doing and you really are on top of stuff. Like, when you're going back to the bugs and exterminators, that whole analogy, the bugs and exterminators thing. If you're in the Northeast, the past 2 years, there's tons of stories about bed bug infestations in hotels.
Yeah.
And apparently that was in the news an awful lot. Now, if you have an extermination business, might not be a bad idea to have like a freebie offer to build your list, like how top 10 ways to spot bed bug infestation. That, like, because it's in the news and people's awareness are already there, they may be more apt to, and then than opposed to saying, or something that people are very conscious of the type of chemicals they use in their home. So in that example, you would say organic ways to control pests in your house without harsh chemicals, or things that kind of touch on current events are a good way to go. So there are just ways around that, but to sit there and expect, you know, if someone is doing a list about general things, like, again, I'll go pick one, internet marketing gurus, when they're telling you something that applies to any business, large and small, how to get more clients, how to get more business in the door, how to charge more for what you're doing, that's a universally appealing topic.
Mm-hmm.
That opt-in rate is going to be way, way higher than someone who is selling a very specific service.
True.
I mean, and it's just, there's just no two ways about it.
Yeah.
So I think that's something like, you know, and very often, you know, a client gets disappointed when you say, well, you know, actually, you actually did pretty good in this campaign and you shouldn't beat yourself up because what you're selling is different, you know, like.
Right.
So that's kind of and plus I find that, you know, I don't know what you think, but by and large, people are generally hostile to getting more email.
I would agree with you.
It's just a tough sell. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are like, I'm a junkie. I don't even know how many lists I get. Like, I probably get, I try to cull it down now and then, but I probably get about 100 email marketing messages a day that I actively subscribe to. And I don't read every one every time, but I'm interested in that stuff and what people are doing because it's my business. But most people don't work that way. And some people actually, I think, are hostile towards getting email. I had one client who was offering this free offer, and it was a cool offer. Like, it really was neat. Like, it was a test thing, and it was very interactive, beautifully done. And it was followed up with a very, very modest and subdued autoresponder series. So, like, for example, like, they got the thing, they signed up, they got their test result. And then, like, a day later, it was a very basic, hi, you know, just touching base. Were you able to get your report okay? Like, super soft. I mean, nothing salesy about it at all. And then the third message will go out, like, 8 days later. And we found very quickly that the unsubscribe rate was so high after that first message. Was like, it was just a different audience. It was an audience that was hostile towards email. Like,
okay.
It just had a different crowd. Like, you and I, if you sign up for a free teleclass, yes, you are going to hear from them again. Like, duh.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't operate that way. As soon as they get that initial message, they're boom, off the list.
Yeah.
Like, they got their free thing and they don't want to hear from you again. And unfortunately, some audiences are just like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes, like, so it's, that's what's kind of unpleasant to tell people sometimes, that just, it doesn't. The rules don't always apply to every audience.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, it was important to talk about this myth because you and I both have followed big internet gurus and taken online courses and followed the plan. But you're exactly right. You know, not every audience is created equal. Not every list is created equal. And I think it was important that we share that with our audience too, because you know, they're trying to learn about online business from us. And, you know, like you're saying, some folks are just hostile to email. They get
they're
their
just hostile to it.
They get their information in other ways, whether it's a post on Facebook or it's a podcast like ours.
They get their
information in another way. So try not to get your head too wrapped up in the numbers.
And and here's the thing, it's always important to never spend a great deal of time on it.
True. I
mean, unless your list is really unless you really do have a 25,000 person list, at which point, you know, my hat is off to you. It's never a good idea to spend large amounts of time on an email newsletter. It just isn't.
Right.
I mean, for that reason, because there's a darn good chance, even if they love you, they're not going to read it. And number two, you know, it's just not. It's just something you should spend minimal money and time on.
Right. Right. Exactly. You know? Exactly. Great. Well, Mary, I really appreciate you sharing this information with us. And folks, you will be able to find that information on Mary's website at provirtualsolutions.com.
Yes. And actually, I'm going to be posting the contents of the teleclass, probably not right away, maybe in a week or two, as a promotion for my coaching club service.
Oh, right. Right. I forgot about that.
Shameless plug. So get provirtualsolutions.com/club. It's kind of like an advice subscription service.
Nice.
You don't have to waste time going down rabbit holes. You can talk to me first.
Yeah,
and
like
kind of
I
get
do.
Some perspective.
Yes,
before.
As someone who signed up for the club, money well spent. So I'm not running around in rabbit holes, as Mary puts it, trying to find the information when Mary just says, "Oh yeah, just do it this way." Like, "Oh yeah, great. This is why I'm in Mary's coaching club. This is cool." So thank you again, everyone, for listening to our Online Biz Insiders podcast, where we deliver a 10 to 30 minute podcast weekly in which we share our online business tips and tricks with you. Online Biz Insiders podcast is produced by my company, WilsonMediaServices.com, and co-produced with ProVirtualSolutions.com. Our theme music was composed by Benjamin Wilson, and our lead engineer is David Wilson. And we want to thank our listeners for tuning in every week and commenting on our blog at OnlineBizInsiders.com. So thank you again, Mary, for the information.
Thank you, Carla.
And have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next week.